This is very easy. And first time I ever encountered this after I surrendered to preach, this was so simple. It's one of those that you're certain, you know, that it's the right interpretation, and you don't have to even give it a second thought. This one is pretty well self-explanatory because God provides so many different things that feed into it that once you read the scriptures associated with it, you don't have any doubt whatsoever. Now in Revelation 12, 1 through 17, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven. A woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she being with child cried, travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And the Catholic Church interprets this to be the Virgin Mary. But it isn't. Let me go back here. If you, since you got your Bibles. And, let's see. I hope I can remember where that is. Okay, let's go back to Genesis 37. And let's go to 37 and 3. Now you know that all of Jacob's children, whom God renamed Israel, they had different mothers. And so this is a story that this has to be what this is talking about. Can't be anything else. So God provided the information so that we could know who he was referring to, because there are others that could be used with this if we didn't have this. He said, now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children because he was the son of his old age, and that's normal, and he made him a coat of many colors. Now, these coats were very expensive, and normally they had a color pattern in them. They usually had blue, they usually had red, and they usually had stuff that was made from a little shellfish, purple, which was the most expensive of all of them. So Joseph had spent quite a bit for this, and yet he didn't give one to all his sons. And when his brethren saw that his father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. Having 7 children, I know that to be the case. And Imogene and I, we kidded the kids all the time about it. But we tried to be fair. But one of my boys, he just kept me on the run all the time, going to talk to school principals and the law and whatever. Anyway, and Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field. He was out binding sheaves of wheat in the field with his brethren. And lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. So that means they bowed down before that sheaf. In the middle, where Joseph's sheaf was, the other sheaves that they had bound bowed down to him. That means they were in subjection to him. It means that he was greater than they were. It means he ruled over them. Now, the interpretation that I just gave you, I know is correct because God provided the information in the next verse. And his brethren said unto him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Now, Jacob, whom God renowned Israel, was greatly loved of God. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it to his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. Well, I know who the sun is. It represents Jacob, the man Israel. And I know who the woman is. It represents the wife, the wife or wives that gave birth to the 11 stars. And the 11 stars are the 11 other brethren he had that had to bow down to him. I mean, this was just a gift. And when I came across this, I said, boy, I'm not going to have to spend a lot of time on this. But I did to make sure. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. Now notice what his father did. His father rebuked him and said, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Now he interprets it. Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? So that's the correct interpretation of it. Now notice what his father did. And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. He observed it because I guess God just decided, I want you to understand this. And he actually used Jacob to tell us, Israel, what he said. So we start off here and we have the one with child crying. Now, it refers to the moon, which represents the wives of the man Israel, travailing in birth, and she pained to be delivered. Well, it's talking about when Christ came into the world, and she was with pain. Israel was the sun. In this particular case, the moon represents the women. And she was travailing in birth and pain to be delivered. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. And behold, a great red dragon having seven heads. Those are the seven heads on the beast. And 10 horns. And 7 crowns upon his head. That's the rulership. And his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. When Satan fell, Lucifer fell and became Satan, then his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. All the preachers I've ever been around just automatically assume that these third part of the stars of heaven were the ones that were assigned to Lucifer. In other words, God gave Lucifer the third part. He gave Gabriel a third part. And he gave Michael a third part. I don't think that's the case. I think it's a third of the angels. And they were mixed. He might have given a third to... He might have given a fourth to some, 2/5 to others. I don't think this, it just means that if you put them all together, that he would actually have a third part of the whole angelic horde. I say that because there's a distinct difference in the types of demons that we find in the New Testament and in the Old Testament. There's a distinct type, types, more than one. the little girl that followed Paul around Philippi, and she wasn't trying to harm anybody. She told fortunes. People made a lot of money out of her. She didn't cause anybody any trouble. And Michael was created by God, and God made him as a messenger angel, an archangel over the other angels that were allotted to him. He was over them, and they would carry messages. Well, this little girl that followed them was possessed by what is known as a spirit of Python. And what would happen was she would follow Paul and Silas around Philippi, and she would say, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." And she'd say it real loud and keep going along behind him. And a little while later, she'd say, "These are the servants of the Most High God. Hear ye them." And that's the only thing apparently she ever said. But she said it louder and louder and louder and louder. And so Paul finally just got completely tired of it, disgusted with it. He turned around and he cast Python out of her. And so here's one that didn't cause much trouble. Well, let's take the archangel Lucifer. He put him over the earth. As he was over the earth, God had placed him over the earth. And when he sinned against God, he still stayed down here, and his angels were still here over the earth. And then God made the first Adam, and the first Adam failed. And during this time that existed here until Christ came, we've got one example of a demoniac. The demoniac was up in the northern part of Israel, and he was running around the tombs, and he was cutting himself, and he was destroying things, and cutting himself, and hurting himself, wounding himself, and everybody was scared to death of him. So I believe that Satan, the Lord asked him, "What is your name?" And he told him, "Legion." If one of us had asked him, he wouldn't tell us. I know that. But he told the Lord, and the Lord said, "Legion." And it means there are countless, many, 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 many demons inside him. And so I think that that the woman that fled into the wilderness was a woman who whose son was to rule all nations as soon as it was born. And Satan was so frustrated because he was here that this demon actually pictures the way Satan is. And I think that that was a fallen angel from Satan's realm that followed him. Now, as far as the archangel Michael, he is the strongest of all the angels. Now, when God created them, before the foundation of the world, I mean, before we came along, I should say, God knew exactly what he was going to do with them. And he knew exactly what they were going to do. And he knew Lucifer would fall by his foreknowledge. So he had already taken all this into account. And by taking it into account, he simply let this go on. But Michael's archangels were like him. They were created to be powerful. And if you look at the book of Daniel, when Gabriel went to carry a message to Daniel, the prince of Persia, a demonic being under Satan, had more power than Gabriel and kept him back But God knew he would. And all this was predetermined, but when he went over to the prince of Persia, he took care of him, and lo and behold, Gabriel got through. Now, those archangels of Gabriel are very interesting, because I think they are the angels that come up out of the bottomless pit. I think they are down in a place called Tartarus. And the head of them is Apollos or Apolliana, which is the same word in Greek and Hebrew. And it means they are the rulers over them. And there was war in heaven. And the woman fled into the wilderness. And when he was caught up into his throne, and then all of a sudden here, we have the rapture occurring in the previous verses, and God has prepared a place for her where she hath a place prepared of God, and they shall feed her there 1,260 days. So there's your 3.5 years, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out into the earth. Now this is a permanent casting out here. He still has access to God, but only at God's invitation. And we find that he came with all the other angels. He was invited along with them back in the book of Job. And he still had access, because he's the accuser of the brethren, and he would accuse them to God. But once this happens, and he is cast out, when this war in heaven occurs, he will come down to earth, and I believe that rapture will occur on the seventh trumpet. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death." So as he comes down, the rapture is going to occur and they're going to go up. "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." Why? Because he's not going to get to come up there anymore. And this is his final casting out. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." Well, you notice that angel stands on the land and the sea. "For the devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time. And the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child, and to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that he might fly into the wilderness." Now the rest of it I've already covered, but I wanted to go back and show you the first part of it again. So next time we come back here, we'll just start off in chapter 13. Now that chapter 13 is very interesting. It's about the beast, and it's about the wound, the beast that had the wound. And that'll be real interesting, so I'm looking forward to it. Ken, you want to dismiss us?